Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 10 June 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We have a couple of updates. Update on the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Al Bingham conducted the class. We had another great session at Las Ventanas Wednesday afternoon, with five ladies in attendance. We opened by singing along with Alan Jackson to Standing on the Promises, followed by prayer. I mentioned that Pastor had taught us that the Bible contains over 7,000 promises, and that a number of us have promise notebooks for our favorite promise verses. We finished lesson 9. Pastor Olson taught about God's logistical grace support and logistical grace blessing to David in Psalm 37:25, and to Paul, Philippians 4:19, and Jeremiah, Lamentations 3:21-23. The ladies all expressed their great gratitude for the class and the teaching. Please pray for these ladies as they continue to grow in the Word of God. Al Bingham. And an update on the Valencia Senior Living Center June 4th report. We had our faithful Bob and Charlie. You made it, huh? Great. We started early, as when I walked in, they were both there, so we started the second half of lesson 3. Pastor started going over the word elpis, and how the English definition was not quite what the Bible's definition is, which is confident hope and expectation. Confident hope and expectation. Elpis refers to our blessings in heaven, and it's the most fantastic system of blessing for the believer. We then went into the problem-solving device of personal sense of destiny. knowing our destiny in heaven allows for us to use this problem-solving device to handle our testing and our pressures in this life. We have a home in heaven. Therefore, there's no need to be afraid in time. Now, there's some other things here about Charlie, and I'm not quite sure about Charlie. He talks about monkeys and using the toilet and all kinds of things. But after class, Charlie said, "I just have one thing to say. I never know what he will say." I guess talking about me. 10 push-ups. "I never know what he will say," but he said, "We have God and the Bible and government." Why the hell, I like Charlie, why the hell do we trust the government when we won't even trust the Bible? I told Charlie he was exactly right. And then he said to me, "Thank you for bringing us the Bible class. It's always a great day with Bob and Charlie. Thank you for your continued prayers for this class. Jerry Cahoon." All righty. We've exegeted 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul has got to exercise his spiritual authority in 2 Corinthians 10. And we're going to see he spends quite a time talking about false teachers, false apostles, they call themselves, who have been influencing many of the believers in Corinth. And these false apostles and false teachers have no respect for the spiritual authority of the Apostle Paul. Have no respect for his authority. And they malign him, they slander him, they run him down, they judge him. And they've been doing this to the believers in their several churches in Corinth. And many of these believers in Corinth have been listening to them, and now they are being influenced by evil. Influenced by evil. And they also do not respect the authority, spiritual authority, of the apostle Paul. Now, Paul was an apostle. Paul was an apostle. Apostles had authority that pastor teachers do not have. Apostles could turn believers over to Satan, turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And Paul did that on a couple of occasions, turned some believers over to Satan for the destruction of the death, sin unto death. Now, just so you can rest, pastors don't have that authority. I've thought about it lots of times, but God did not give me the authority to turn you over to Satan for the administration of the sin and the death. So you can relax. If you wind up under the sin and the death, you didn't learn a damn thing from 2 Corinthians study and the doctrine of reversionism. Because that's what happened. And we got so many Christians in this country. They're living out of fellowship with God. They're living by the lust patterns of their sin nature. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. They're trapped. They're trapped in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. And the Word of God is not that important. Anything and everything distracts them away from God and the teaching of the Word of God. Anything and everything. And that, I'm talking about Christians. And we are in major, major problems. This nation is full of evil. Liberalism is a vicious, satanic evil. And liberalism is all over America, and it's destroying America. Liberalism, socialism, communism. And there is you almost never see virtue love from believers. You almost never see virtue love. Only those very few believers who through humility and positive volition assemble in a sound Bible teaching church again and again and again, night after night, to learn and believe the Word of God and live their life by it, to have developed personal love for God the Father. You have to have that, because that motivates impersonal love for all. And you don't see impersonal love for all. Very, very rarely, impersonal love for all. And occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective that God has for every one of you, all of you, as believers in the church age. Virtue love brought to completion in your heart. But it'll never get there if you're distracted by everything and anything in this life. So the Apostle Paul, in the first two verses, he's just getting started. He's going to go into greater and greater detail. He's actually going to exercise his spiritual authority, and he's going to nail these believers in Corinth that are listening to these false apostles. He's going to nail them. But he's just getting started. He's just getting warmed up in the first two verses. Now I, Paul, myself, appeal to you by the humility, and Paul has genuine humility, and graciousness of Christ. And Paul has maximum grace orientation. And then he gets into the maligning, slandering, and judging. Who, I, Paul, on the one hand, when I am face to face with you, I am being slandered, maligned, judged as being a mouse, meek, timid, groveling. But on the other hand, when I am absent, I am maligned, slandered, and judged as being a lion, bold against you. Verse 2. In fact, I request, when I come face to face with you, that I may not have to be as bold with the confidence, with which confidence I propose to be bold and courageous against some of you who are constantly accusing us, slandering us, maligning us, judging us as living our lives according to the sin nature. He's just getting warmed up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and he's going to deal with it and exercise the spiritual authority that has been given to him. And who gave Paul the spiritual authority? The living and true God did. Every communicator of the Word of God, whether there are no apostles today, the highest spiritual authority in the church age today, post-canon period, is the gift of pastor-teacher. And that authority comes from God. Comes from God. God has given, He gave Paul the authority, spiritual authority. He gives every male with the spiritual gift of pastor teacher, the spiritual authority to communicate the Word of God, and when need be, to brace and chew out and nail those who are out of line. And the authority comes from God. So some in Corinth were accusing the Apostle Paul of living his life by the power of the sin nature. They were accusing him of having no spiritual life. They were judging and slandering him, that he was living the reversionistic life out of fellowship with God. But by judging and slandering the Apostle Paul and his team, which included pastor-teacher Timothy and pastor-teacher Titus, they were the ones who had no spiritual life. And they were the ones in reversionism, not the Apostle Paul. So that brought us to a very, very important doctrine. That you better know this doctrine. You better know it inside and out. The doctrine of reversionism. And we studied point one, definition and description. We are in point two. Point two, there are eight stages of reversionism. Eight. We've studied the first six. Stage one, reaction and distraction. The reaction and distraction stage. And distraction away from God and His Word is based on reaction. You react. You react to the pastor. You react to what he said, what he taught. You react to all different kinds of things when you assemble in a Bible teaching church. Arrogance is the number one reason for distraction from God and His Word. And we saw that in Romans 12, 2 and 3. That's the first stage. Then you move on to the second stage, which is the frantic search for happiness. Once a believer goes negative toward Bible doctrine, he becomes frantic in his search for happiness. This frantic search for happiness is described in one phrase in 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The frantic search for happiness becomes the alternative to faithful and consistent perception and metabolization of the Word of God. Reversionism and the frantic search for happiness replaces your desire for the absolute truth of God's Word. And that brings you to stage three, Operation Boomerang. And in this stage, the frantic search for happiness boomerangs and returns to the believer and nails him, intensifying the original reactor factors and his unhappiness. When the frantic search for happiness boomerangs, frustration becomes greater frustration, misery becomes greater misery, and unhappiness becomes intensified happiness. And that brings you to stage four, emotional revolt of the soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, created man. And when he created man, he gave us emotions. There's nothing wrong with having emotions when they're used the way God designed them to be used. God gave us emotions to respond. Emotions are responders, not initiators, not dictators, but responders. To respond to God, to respond to the essence of God, the will of God, the plan of God, to respond to the Word of God. They're responders. However, when emotions revolt, they become the dictator and the aggressor of the soul. And the Word of God in the soul is then neutralized or distorted, hindering you from fulfilling God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And that brings you to stage five, permanent negative volition toward doctrine or permanent cosmic involvement. I think that's probably the best way to describe stage five. Permanent cosmic involvement. And there are seven characteristics of permanent cosmic involvement. Seven characteristics. Characteristic number one, indifference. Indifference or apathy toward Bible teaching from a pastor teacher. Characteristic number two, wrong priorities. You're too busy to consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound Bible teaching church to hear the teaching of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Characteristic number three, antagonism or personality conflict with the pastor who is teaching aletheia, the absolute truth of God's Word. Characteristic number four, failure to learn and utilize God's problem-solving devices, specifically here, rebound. Because reversionist doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. The reversionist thinks he's doing everything right. So he doesn't rebound. If you don't rebound, you have no spiritual life, no filling of the Spirit. So they fail to rebound. Characteristic number five, lack of concentration and poor manners. And what does it mean when I say poor manners? That includes arrogance manifesting itself in reacting to spiritual authority, in resenting spiritual authority, in rejecting spiritual authority. Characteristic number six, now you have inability to cope with prosperity or adversity. Characteristic number seven, failure to understand the unique spiritual life of the church age and the spiritual skills to live it. That brings you to stage number six, blackout of the soul. And Ephesians 4:17 gives the technical Greek word for the blackout of the soul. And that word is mataiotes, Ephesians 4:17. And mataiotes, well, it's translated in some of your Bibles, futility. It's a vacuum that sucks in false doctrine. Negative volition creates a vacuum in the soul, and through this vacuum comes doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Infiltration of the doctrine of demons results in blackout of the soul. And blackout of the soul indicates ignorance of the Word of God, cosmic involvement, and the replacement of sound Bible doctrine with false doctrine. And then you're in stage seven, scar tissue of the soul. Blackout of the soul followed by scar tissue of the soul. That's stage seven, and we just got started. We noted the first three points. Point one was scar tissue of the soul is prolonged residence in Satan's cosmic system. You are now entrapped. Satan has you trapped. You're in that trap. It's prolonged residence in Satan's cosmic system. Two, it is reaction to any form of accurate Bible teaching and strong reaction to those who communicate accurately the absolute truth of God's Word. Three, the Scriptures call scar tissue of the soul in several different ways. We noted four of them. It's called hardness of the heart. It's called hardening of the neck. It's called stiff-necked. It's called, not redneck, stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. And it's called hardening of the face. And we saw these terms used in Hebrews 3, 7 to 15, Nehemiah 9, 16 and 17, Jeremiah 7, 23 to 29, Proverbs 21, 29. All right. Now that brings us to point four. At this point, the believer cannot be distinguished from the unbeliever. At this point, the believer cannot be distinguished from the unbeliever. Five, he is very arrogant, anti-authority. Anti-authority in both the spiritual realm and the temporal realm. Six, scar tissue of the soul is the status of living your life in Satan's cosmic system, the cosmos, and therefore a violation of 1 John 2, verse 15. So turn over to 1 John 2, verse 15. First John 2:15. We have a prohibition here. It's a verb in the imperative mood with the objective negative "u." Stop loving. Stop loving what? Stop loving the cosmos. K-O-S-M-O-S. Stop loving the cosmos, the cosmic system, Satan's cosmic system. Stop loving Satan's cosmic system. Stop loving the things in Satan's cosmos, Satan's cosmic system. If anyone loves the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, then the love for the Father is not in him. He has no personal love for God the Father. He has no personal love for Jesus Christ at all. He has no virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He is a loser believer through and through. No virtue love, no personal love for God the Father, no personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, no occupation with Christ. That is scar tissue of the soul. Seven, scar tissue of the soul is the final step into Christian degeneracy. The final step into Christian degeneracy, because scar tissue of the soul is motivation, motivates your degeneracy. Scar tissue of the soul is the final step into Christian degeneracy, because scar tissue of the soul is the motivation for degeneracy. Eight, scar tissue of the soul is the enemy of evangelism. Scar tissue of the soul is the enemy of evangelism. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness, that this is God's kindness, God's grace policy and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God, the grace of God, leads you to repentance? Verse 5. But because of your scar-tissued heart, sclerotes, scar-tissued heart, and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. 9. The mechanics of the unbeliever. Now we're going to look at the unbeliever's reversionism and scar tissue of the heart. The mechanics of the unbeliever's scar tissue are described in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. So turn over to 2 Thessalonians 2. The mechanics of the unbeliever's scar tissue are described in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10. And in every category of evil, in every category of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They refused to love the grace gospel and place their faith in Christ and the resulting in salvation. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, false gospel, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in reversionism. That's the mechanics of the unbeliever's scar tissue. That brings you to stage 8, the last stage, the final stage of reversionism. And I see this all the time. Reverse process reversionism. I see this in so many believers that it breaks my heart. Reverse process reversionism is the final stage of reversionism. It is the antithesis of being a spiritually mature believer who glorifies God. They do not glorify God. They are not spiritually mature believers. They are believers, but they are loser believers. They haven't lost their salvation. That's impossible. They have eternal security. They will live with God forever. But reverse process reversionism. 1. Everything that is worthwhile and valuable in life is rejected. Everything that is worthwhile and valuable in life is rejected. But everything that is useless and nonsense is accepted. But everything that is useless and nonsense is accepted. Two, prolonged residence in the cosmic system causes a complete reversal of all mandates, priorities, norms and standards related to the unique spiritual life of the church age. Prolonged residence and trapped and living in Satan's cosmic system causes a complete reversal of all mandates, priorities, and norms and standards related to the unique spiritual life of the church age. Three, Christian degeneracy reaches its peak in stage 8, reverse process reversionism. And don't write out all three of those words, reverse process reversionism. Just put RPR. I know you got a lot of, you have your own shorthand, but that's, if you try to write out reverse process reversion, you'll get to reverse pro. Reverse your pro and then rever up. Christian degeneracy reaches its peak in reverse process reversionism. The believer in reverse process reversionism cannot be distinguished in any way from an unbeliever. Four, reverse process means to face in the opposite direction. Reverse process. You are reversing, and facing in the opposite direction. Instead of going forward, you're going backward. You're facing in the opposite direction, either spiritually or mentally or physically or all three. Five, reverse process reversionism is an inverted position of degeneracy by the reversal of objects. Reverse process reversionism is an inverted position of degeneracy by the reversal of objects. Six, bona fide objects of love and priorities which are found in the Word of God. Bona fide objects of love and priorities such as personal love for God the Father, such as personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ, such as personal love for the Word of God, aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Bona fide objects such as having a pastor teacher who teaches the absolute truth of the Word of God. Bona fide objects like the right spouse for you. The bona fide object of the right friends. All of these are reversed. They're all reversed. Seven, in reverse process reversionism, pseudo love objects replace biblical love objects. In reverse process reversionism, pseudo love objects replace biblical love objects. And point eight, before I get into point eight, I want you to turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And in verses 1 through 7, we have the message to Ephesus. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. That's reverse process reversionism. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Fallen in reversionism. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And that is the sin unto death. Divine discipline, dying discipline. So Revelation 2, 4, and 5 describes this as leaving your first love. Now let's amplify what we have here in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, and leaving your first love. One, the first love refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first love refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as both the living word and the written word, the mind of Christ. The first love refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as both the living word and the written word, the mind of Christ. Two, reverse process reversionism leaves a true love object, a biblical love object, and gravitates toward a pseudo love object. Reverse process reversionism leaves a true love object and gravitates toward a pseudo love object. Three. The believer in reverse process reversionism rejects everything related to true love and God. The believer in reverse process reversionism rejects everything related to true love and God. Four. His standards are antithetical to those of the aletheia, absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. His standards are antithetical to those of the aletheia, the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Five, his self-centeredness and preoccupation with self and preoccupation with people takes the place of loving God. His self-centeredness and preoccupation with self, preoccupation with people, takes the place of loving God. 6. He seeks any false lover instead of his right woman. He seeks any false lover instead of his right woman. 7. He seeks anyone that he can use instead of true friends. He seeks anyone that he can use instead of true friends. 8. He has a total reversal of all true objects of love. He has a total reversal of all true objects of love. This is all a part of Revelation 2, 4, and 5, leaving your first love. 9, the characteristics of reverse process reversionism. The characteristics of reverse process reversionism. One, you're living your life entrapped in Satan's cosmos, Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Cosmic one and cosmic two. And the Word of God describes you in a lot of different ways. None of them are flattering. The Word of God describes you as the enemy of God. You're now the enemy of God. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You have eternal security. You're going to live with God forever. But you have made yourself, nobody else's fault, you've made yourself the enemy of God. Turn over to James 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4, verse 4. You adulteresses. This is spiritual adultery. Do you not know that friendship with the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, is hatred toward God? And therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the cosmos, Satan's cosmic system, makes himself, you do it all yourself, by your own free will and bad decisions, makes himself an enemy of God. And then turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, you make yourself the enemy of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many believers walk, they're living their life, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ, Paul gave a lot of these people the gospel and they believed in Christ. Paul taught a lot of them doctrine. And for a while they were there in Bible class to get the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. And then they reacted to something Paul said. And then they were distracted away from the Word of God. And there they went through until they got to stage 8, made themselves the enemy of the cross. Turn over to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15. John 15, verse 23. The one who hates me hates my Father also. You become a hater of God. So the enemy, you make yourself the enemy of God. You make yourself the enemy of the cross. You are a hater of God. Turn over to James chapter 4 again. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Greek word is dissoukos. D-I-P-S-U-C-H-O-S. Dissoukos. And dissoukos means split-souled. This is spiritual schizophrenia. There are a lot of believers. This characterizes, unfortunately, today in America, many, many believers. Spiritual schizophrenia. Dissoukos. Split-souled. And turn over to 1 John 2. You make yourself an antichrist. You make yourself against Christ. You're an antichrist. 1 John 2:18. Students, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming in the tribulation, even now in the church age, many Antichrists, believers in reverse process reversionism, they are Antichrist, have arisen. And from this we know that it is the last hour. And then go over to 1 John chapter 3. You make yourself the disciple of the devil. The ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel, Satan. He's a genius. You could take everyone in the world put their brains together and it wouldn't even come close to the genius of Satan. And you could put all of the humans in the world together and try to make a super beautiful person. Wouldn't even come close to the beauty of Satan. 1 John 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin, practices. This is his lifestyle. This is his life. He's a slave to the lust patterns of the sin nature. He is of the devil. He is a disciple. He's made himself the disciple of the ruler of planet Earth, the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for the purpose that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, the believer in reverse process reversionism makes himself the enemy of God, the enemy of the cross, a hater of God, spiritual schizophrenia, split soul, against Christ, an antichrist, and a disciple of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. He's just getting warmed up, though. He has a lot to communicate. He's going to get into the dealing with the false apostles and false teachers who are influencing believers. Believers in churches in Corinth are being influenced by evil, influenced by false doctrine. Verse 3, he starts out, "For though we walk in the flesh," we have the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the present active participle of the verb peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative singular of sarx. The post-positive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar, and the illative gar introduces a reason and is correctly translated for. And then we have the verb peripateo. Looks like that in the Greek, P-E-R-I-P-A-T-O. T-E, long O. Peripateo. Couple of things. One, literally, peripateo means to go about or to walk around. To go about or to walk around. That's literally. Two, in our verse, we walk around ensarche. Preposition en plus the dative s of sarx, S-A-R-K-I. Ensarche. In the flesh. Three. In this clause, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the human body. In this clause, verse 3, the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the human body. 4, we live our life on earth, ensarche, in a human body. We live our life on earth, ensarche, in a human body. 5, this is putting the spotlight on the physical limitations of our human body as we live here on planet Earth. This is putting the spotlight on the physical limitations of our human body as we live here on planet Earth. Now, peripateo is a participle, and this is a circumstantial participle of concession. And the concessive participle is correctly translated though. Though. So, corrected translation. For though we walk in the flesh, live our life in a human body with its limitations. I'll give it to you again. For though, concessive participle, For though we walk in the flesh, live our life in a human body with its limitations, well, then it says we do not war after the flesh. Well, now we have war. You better come back next week, and we're going to talk about war. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our own lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.